Good evening. Welcome to day three of the voting meetings, and we have maybe 9-10 items on there to take a look at and hopefully wrap this up. I would like to, when we come out of here, have an adoption of the amendments to the 2016 budget and have a tentative budget that we can send on to the legislature at a later date. I won't say it now. At any rate, Joe, is there anything you need to say? No. Kevin, nothing you need to say? Let's go right at it. And we have Legislator McBean Claiborne for the first
18.
And then I'm the next 12, and then whatever else comes up. Go ahead, Leslie, you're on. The first one is...
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
OTR 11.
You all have been having a lot of fun in my absence, I notice.
We have.
So this one is a small amount of money, so I'm hoping that we don't have to talk too long on it. I'd like to propose an increase to fund OTR 11 to $1,400. To support County's Community Outreach Initiative. And if I have a second, I'll talk a little bit more about that.
And you would move it? And is there a second?
Well, I'll second for purposes of discussion.
So I want to take this from a recruitment, from a diversity and inclusion perspective. One of the things that I think we've done really well this year, and with a little bit more money we can do better, is Marsha has been out there really promoting county government, jobs in county government, and getting the community as a whole, the county as a whole, to know more about what we do within the county. This money's just helped to, you know, pay for some of the things that we need, whether it's advertising material or to allow people to walk away with a pencil from Tompkins County. This is all it is, and I think it goes a long way, a very long way, in helping our recruitment efforts. Again, a small amount of money, $1,400.
Any other comments? Julie and then Carol. Let me reiterate for my own sake and the rest of everyone else around here that the $1,400, it's all these things I don't think we're going to spend. I don't want to spend 2 hours on these items. So go ahead, Julie.
Indulge me.
How long have you been on this group?
What?
How long have you been with this group?
I know.
It seems like a lifetime.
I want to make up for the last two meetings, so talk about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, Dilly.
So I'm looking at the budget book at this OTR number 11, and my notes say it's for things like parades to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And the original request was for 500. Why did you feel a need to increase it?
I really think that this should be something like 3,000. Because it really does cost a lot of money. It costs more than just $500. And so I felt that it would go even further to be able to do this. Marsha does a lot with a very small amount of money, and she could be doing so much more.
So is this a Marsha over target request?
This is a Leslin over target
request
for county administration.
So it was originally a Marsha over target request?
Yes. Was that what you're asking me? Yes.
Yeah.
Carol.
So last time, I had something in here that was the OTR that was originally in the county administrator's budget but not approved, the $500. And I withdrew it because I was told that it was done already with rollover money. So my question to Leslin is, do you see that 500 as, so this was done last time, 500 of this. So is that 900 left that you're proposing, or the 1,400 as an additional?
Okay, I don't know about the it was done already, so I was asking for a total of $1,400. So if there's already $500 in existence, then it's only $900 that I'm asking for. Somebody help.
There was a rollover that was approved by the legislature at its last meeting.
My sense would be that we would cover that base 500 with rollover. So I think what Leslin may be asking for is a plus 900.
Not plus 900. That's what I'm asking for.
So it was a mistake. So let's talk about 900.
I'll support that.
Anyone, someone else had their hand up. Anyone? All in favor of adding this amendment, $900, please raise your hand. Opposed. Anyone want to change their vote? I have 9 in favor, 2 against. Is that right?
Can you tell me later on who the opposed votes are? Because I'm coming after them.
10-2, sorry. What?
I had wanted to hear from Marcia before we voted, but you didn't see my...
Well...
Because I didn't raise it very high, so that's my fault.
So 10-2, that's approved. Go ahead, Leslin. And the 14 is 900.
It's $900.
Okay.
Because I didn't know
Leslin,
the other one was already
you're
in
next.
Place. Gosh, I'm going to withdraw the other one, the $10,000.
Is there a
personnel
second?
Personnel department.
Is there a second? Now, Peter Stein.
Well, she's just withdrawing.
I'm just withdrawing. If somebody else wants to bring it, go for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're withdrawing it?
I'm just withdrawing
it. Oh, I'm sorry.
I wasn't moving it.
I'm sorry.
The next one, I would like to move contingent fund to set aside $60,000 in one-time funds to provide living wage support for contractors. If I get a second, I'll talk about it.
Will, is a second?
So when we... have been engaged last year and the previous year in our discussions around living wage. One of the things that we said we were going to do, we recognized after the study that there was a lot of money that was needed to help support contractors and contract agencies in bringing the folks who do work for us, not on our payroll, but who do work for us, up to living wage. We couldn't do all of it, but we said that we would, you know, add a little bit as we go along. We did $100,000, as I remember, and I don't think we've done any more. So I think we're at that place where we need to sort of replenish, if you will, that line so that we can help support moving folks up to a living wage in this county. It's something that we said matters to us. We just didn't have the money to do it all at once. So this is why I am bringing this proposal.
Martha, and then Mike.
So a question for Leslin and then for Joe. One-time funds, but for salaries, right? I mean, for contractors, we have to sort of assume...
Yes, thanks for bringing that, Martha. I remember talking to Kevin, and I said, I'm not sure if it's supposed to be one-time or target or whatever, but I'm bringing it on the floor as is, and I will be corrected, I'm sure, by the esteemed county administrator about how much, what it should be.
So then the question is, you know, does one-time make sense? And then there's another question about the $100,000 that we put in before and kind of what's the status of that?
Mm-hmm. I like that esteemed stuff. That sounds pretty good.
Can you tell I'm groveling?
In order, it's probably best if you put this in target. If you're going to be putting money into the budget for things that you know will be recurring costs, you probably want to do it as target as opposed to one time. It would have a greater effect on the levy if you do it that way, obviously, because we're pulling levy to be able to pay for that. But in terms of this being a recurring expense, it probably would be once we raise a contract. So that's the first. The second, and I've gotten a couple of questions, so I've gone through some of the arithmetic on it. In terms of what's left out of that original $100,000, because that was in target. $100,000 was in target.
Thank you.
And over the past couple of years, we have reallocated some of that target. Food Net went up, so we moved that money into, I think, COFA to pay for Food Net. We've made some other allocations as a part of the budget or as separate appropriations to the tune of about $62,000. Has come out of contingency target and gone to other places in the budget, as target, which leaves about $38,000 of the original amount that we had set aside in contingency that you could kind of call living wage. Now, Rick is kicking me under the table because if you look at the contingency account in 2015, there's probably not going to be anything left. You'll be looking for $38,000 in unspent contingency money. But again, we've gone through it because of some extraordinary circumstances. But I don't think that takes away from the underlying point that originally we had put a loose fence around $100,000. 62 of that has been reallocated. There's, call it, $38,000 left in contingency target funding for living wage.
So it kind of actually, if you're looking for a physical place, it's in the general fund somewhere with the intention, soft fence meaning kind of the legislature's intention that we would have, we would spend $100,000 to boost contracts. So we've already, so we haven't spent all that we put in. Was that 2 years ago?
It's 2 years ago. It's 2014 that we made the first allocation.
Okay. Thank you.
Mike had his hand up, and then Leslie, do you want to, before I go to Mike?
No, you can.
Okay, Mike, Leslie, and Carol.
I wondered from Leslie where the $60,000 figure came from. What went into that calculation?
Well, I understood that there was about $30,000 left, and I was trying to keep that number at around $100,000. That's where it came from.
I see.
May I ask my question now?
Sure.
I just want to follow up on this because I am still confused about target at one time on this one. If we change this to target, which of course affects our levy this year, then we would be raising the target of the contingent fund.
Yeah. I mean, the contingency.
So,
yes.
But it, because if we allocate that to some department that needs it for a contract, they're not going to need the target increase until next year. Is that right? Because they'll have the money this year out of contingency.
Then
their target doesn't need to go up until 2017. Is that right?
This would build that into their base, then.
Right. So this would, and I hope I don't make it more tangled. So this would give us a capacity next year. Somebody came in and said, we need more money for a given contract so that they can do the living wage. We would take the money out of this contingency account, and we would move it to that department that holds the contract that needs more money so that it would allow them to get through 2016 by shifting from A to B. Now we roll into 2017. The contingent amount has come down because we've moved that target money to the department. The department's target would have been adjusted, and our budget can carry that increased cost because it's all been done within target funds.
Okay. I'm just thinking if we should wait until the next year, whether we really need to do target money this year. I'm still debating that in my head here. And should we be putting this into some kind of a reserve account since we've come up to this problem this year where we've used all of our contingent, including, with the exception of $17,000 and change, including what that $38,000 that we had said ought to be allocated for that. So is it the right way to handle this by putting it into the contingent fund?
I suppose you could create a separate line item account for this purpose. So you could watch it, and it wouldn't, if there were other expenses in other areas that needed contingency, it wouldn't bleed over into this account. I'd have to talk to Rick to figure out how you would set up a separate line item account for this. Whether it can be done, I suspect it could. So that would allow you to keep track of living wage versus everything else. I want to come back to target for a second, because let's say that a contract, again, contract came up in 2016. You decided that we should allocate some of this target money to pay for that higher living wage. would go to that department. Now, if it wasn't target money that we were using, then you have to ask what happens in 2017. And that's when there wouldn't be a capacity to support that increase in 2017. That's why we have built this with target dollars so far as opposed to one-time money.
Okay.
I have Carol and Dave and back to Leslin and then Martha.
Go ahead. However you decide, Mr. Chair, you are running the show. My questions might be answered as you go along. I'm being nice tonight.
You did first say Leslin. Do you want to go first?
I can go. It's fine. I just have I have questions. Thank you, Joe, for not confusing that anymore. Tongue in cheek.
So I'm curious as to whether she's going to change it to target.
Go ahead, Leslin.
So, Joe, there were a number of contracts. When we did this study, we had a whole bunch of them. But I think there were only two that we did anything with out of this, or two or three, I don't remember, out of the monies we set aside. Why haven't we touched the others so that we have this 30-something thousand left?
We haven't needed the money. So our contracts are either compliant,
mm-hmm.
Or we've concluded they're beyond. Remember, we had a handful of contracts that we concluded were just beyond this. When a department has brought a contract to us saying that they can't meet the living wage, we'd like to get them to the living wage level, we brought that forward. So these are the only ones so far that have come forward that have asked for additional money for living wage. And you're right, there's only a handful that have done that. I guess the good news here is we are generally compliant.
Right.
Our contractors are generally compliant.
Right, and then there were others that it was too much money for
exactly
us.
That's exactly right.
So we need to look at that as well. And then my other question I'll have to come back to my other question because I just blanked on what it is. FoodNet and rural libraries. So we just added to their budgets for living wage. That is just general funding. That's not out of this money that we have set aside.
That's for rural libraries. No, we did not take the money out of contingency. We just raised the general fund, their targets, to get them closer to living wage.
And that's the same thing for, I think it's FoodNet?
That's in the 2016 budget, correct.
Is there a reason why we didn't do that? Well, aside from the fact that we only have 17,000 in contingency. Why we didn't use the money that we set aside for that?
Because we had the capacity. So as we were building the budget, we had the capacity to increase that amount for them. We could have, Leslin. We just didn't do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Carol.
Okay. So one is a question, and then I'll talk about my position on this. I'm still trying to remember what we actually did when we set up the first 100,000 as contingent. I don't remember that being target. It was target, not one time.
It was target. We didn't. There wasn't a separate line item. We didn't. We were careful not to say that this is a total earmark. We called it, I think, a soft fence or a soft something at that time, but it was target money. We raised property taxes to be able to support that.
Okay. Well, I certainly support us doing something towards living wage. And I think that our experience with it has been just what we suspected, and the public, large public that came to us had indicated, which is that we knew there was an overwhelming amount of money it would take to get every contract and all of the parity in all of those contracts, for the agencies or contractors themselves for their other contracts, up to a livable wage. the argument at the time was that if we made a start, that the contractors would, first of all, whether they be agencies, profit-making, non-profit, would see that we were serious about it, number one. And number two, knowing we're serious, be able to pick up, first of all, in order to get our contracts, be selected for the contracts, be willing to stretch themselves and put in a piece themselves. And I think that we've seen that because we have had a bunch of success in hearing from many who come to us and say, yes, we are paying a living wage, and for the rest of them to say, we'd like to, but we can't. And we can't, or to say, we can't do it all ourselves, but if you can do a piece, we'll do a piece. And we're seeing that. And as our fund gets down closer to zero, we don't feel like we've got enough in there to negotiate as well, to make that happen. So I think it makes sense to replenish this fund. We don't have to spend it all at once. It's over 2 years. We still have something left. But it enables our departments and Joe to parse it out as they see fit. And so I do support doing this. I think $60,000 to get it back up, even though we've done these pieces this year, so that we know it's back up there, is about the right amount. And so I'd just like to amend it to be target money.
That's a motion?
That's a motion.
Is there a second? Leslin. Discussion of the amendment. Dan?
So I'm still, I have some target questions. So go back to 2014, put $100,000 in there, only about $60,000 has been spent. But because it's in target, aren't we sort of paying for it twice? Like, it wasn't used for its purpose, but $100,000 was part of the levy each year. And maybe this is the same question. Suppose we put $60,000 in target, and we don't use any of it in the following year. Aren't we paying for it twice? It's going to go in again.
Well, if you don't use it, it goes into fund balance. So, it's available for use in the future. It would roll into fund balance. I guess, Dan, and I understand your point, and my point may be too simplistic, but we've tried to anticipate recurring costs. And if we believe it's going to be recurring, we want to make a target as opposed to one time, because we don't want to have that jarring effect in that second year when the one-time money runs out and then we need to scramble to find money. So that's why this, when we put aside the $100,000, it was in target for anticipated recurring expenses. When we didn't spend it, it fell into our fund balance, and it's there for use. So as we sit right now, $60,000 of that target authority is actually being spent. Okay. So it is being put to use the way it was intended. The other 38 at this point is unspent, but it's helping to pay some other bills. So in the contingency account, which is running dry, that's helping to pay other bills. So I understand what you're saying about maybe we're doing it twice. I don't look at it that way, because if we didn't think we were at risk of a recurring expense, we wouldn't have put the money in there as target, and it was in there as a target expense. Okay. That's a little tortured, I understand. But that's.
I do understand you. I'm not sure I agree, though.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm not sure to do it.
I want to go back to the other people. I had Dave and Mike, and then we'll go to Martha and then Julie. And Mike, you had your hand up when it was not target, but before.
Which
might
be?
It was you.
I want to talk to the main motion, but we're on the amendment now, aren't we?
All right. Okay. So you're passing to talk about this one?
Yeah, I don't want to talk on the amendment.
Okay. All right. Dave, how about you?
I'm going to pass, Jim. Thank
okay. You. And then I get to Dooley?
I thought
But me.
Now, wait. Julie had her hand up before you.
That was to second the amendment.
And you didn't keep it up to talk. Okay, my mistake, Martha.
Okay, let me see if I get this right. So we have targets for all sorts of things. So we have a target. Usually we raise property taxes in order to have I think the number was $800,000 contingent fund. Right? Every year we have a contingent fund. So we got to make sure that we've raised enough taxes to have an $800,000 contingent fund. And we have a target for our fund balance. Let's pretend it's, $10 million. Okay, so we raise taxes in order to have a $10 million fund balance. For the 2014 budget, we added to the contingent fund another $100,000 with a little, tag on it that said this can be drawn for salary increases for contractors. So in the following year, 60,000 got actually pulled. That means allocated. It moved from contingent, just moved over to particular departments, solid waste, whatever. Okay? The target, the contingent fund, if I understand this correctly, the goal then for the contingent fund has continued to be $838,000. With that 38 being with a little tag on it, and that other 62 is over in the other departments. Am I right so far?
You're right so far.
Okay. So it turns out other expenses have pulled some for this year, pulled more than expected for other things, and that's why we're so low. But if we don't do anything else for 2016, we will have a contingent fund of $838,000 with a tag of $38,000 for living wage.
Right. That's exactly right.
Whew. Okay. So I would submit that we don't change anything. That we have, target is a more sensible thing to do if we're going to do anything, but I would submit that we don't add anything since we're already raising taxes for the living wage for undefined future contract needs at the level of $38,000. So I would submit we don't need to raise additional taxes, maybe from a lot of people who don't make the living wage themselves, by the way. So I would like to leave it where it is, understand that's there, so that if we get mid-year, we get a request to bump up a contract, then we know that we already have $38,000 earmarked for that. If we get, let's say, a request for $40,000, we pull the extra from somewhere else. And then the following year, if we need to, we decide to add more to it. So I will not. I think that's a long way of saying I'm interested in supporting living wages for contract workers. I think we have the money there already, and I will vote against the amendment.
I will vote against the amendment because it's a target. I would consider supporting it as one time, but at any rate, anyone else? All in favor of the...
So I have a question with this. So, Jim, how would you see work? My memory was that this was contingent, that was one time, under the assumption that it was encouraging people to, put it into their own contracts and then tide them over and do it in subsequent years. But so could you talk a little bit more about how you would support it at one time and rationalize keeping it one time rather than target?
Well, I don't want to add 60,000 to the tax levy if I cannot add 60,000 to the tax levy, and the 60K would do the same thing. You would have to come back and ask for it if it were one time in the contingency account.
But do you see it as working if we did it as contingent one time?
Yeah.
And is that how your understanding of what we actually did before? I'm very confused about this because that's...
I can speak to that. That's not what we did before.
That's not what we did before. Okay.
All in favor of the resolution that is amended, the amendment which is 60K target. Please raise your hand.
This is the amendment.
The amendment to the amendment. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Opposed. Anyone want to change their vote? 4 in favor, 8 against, and that fails. Back to the original, which was Mike.
So we're back to the one time on the 60,000. I have to say I very much agree with Martha's comments. We've got 38,000 there. It's going to stay there, as we understand it. If we get a request for it next year, we've got that money, and we could add more from the contingency if we needed to, and address it with an OTR for the 2017 budget. And I also agree with you, Martha, that there are a lot of people out there that aren't getting any increase. We just heard that people getting Social Security will have no increase at all come January, mainly because the cost of gasoline is down. Well, I have a lot of elderly clients. Some of them are making the minimum from Social Security, which is only $500 or $600 a month at the most, and they don't drive. They're just trying to stay in their apartments and their senior housing and things like that. We're hooked on to the living wage as promulgated by the Alternatives Federal Credit Union, an institution that we're very happy to have in this community, but it's very liberal in the way it calculates the living wage compared to some of the other calculations in the state and other regions as to what items are in that. To have it go up 9% in 2 years when the inflation rate is close to zero says how long is that sustainable for employers and municipalities, and particularly not-for-profits that are trying to deliver services. I think this needs to be looked at, and I don't think this item is going to solve the living wage problem in the things like the health care workers and the daycare workers and other people. It's got to have a different way of looking at it.
Dave, you're passing?
Yeah, I passed before.
Okay. We were on the – well, all right, fine. Julie.
Yeah, Mike, I agree in that it should be a target if it's going to exist at all. So I wouldn't support one time. I don't think that makes sense. But I disagree with your critique of Alternatives Federal Credit Union. They have a handle on what it costs to live in this community. I don't think they are unduly generous to say that someone should be able to save a tiny amount or go out once a month, maybe. I don't find that unduly generous. I find this a very expensive community to live in, and I think they're realistic about their numbers. But I will be voting against this.
Can we please not argue the merits of AFCU?
I'm not doing
that. Go ahead.
Okay. So the reason that I still think this is a valid thing to do, even as one time, is that we have many multi-year contracts. We negotiate the price on a contract once, and it's good for 2, 3, 4, 5, what, didn't we have one at 10 years? So the amount can still be applied once to a contract and parsed out over years. And again, it gives us some leverage or allows us to negotiate with those who are providing the services. So I still support it.
I think we're ready to vote. All in favor of the original amendment to give $60K to a one-time for living wage support, please raise your hand. Opposed? Somebody didn't. Peter, what? How did you vote?
Opposed.
Opposed? Okay. Let me do the opposed again, please. Opposed. Okay, thank you. Anyone want to change their vote? 4 against, 8 opposed. The motion is defeated. Leslie?
I'm beginning to not like my colleagues anymore.
One vote, and that
share some of that chocolate with everybody.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, the next OTR or the next amendment I was trying to make, I saw that it was already amended to place it in contingency fund, and I am going to leave that alone. So I'm going to withdraw that one.
So that's a withdrawal. And the next one?
The next one is, this one is confusing to me. So let me see what I'm going to do about it.
Okay.
Which number?
This is 47, OTR for Travel and Training Office of Human Rights, because we received another OTR request, and I'm not sure what to make of these. So I thought perhaps I can ask Joe and or Karen. Karen is here to help me understand before I make a motion. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go with this. I was looking to reduce what was being asked for because I understood that there was already money that had been approved for training, but then I'm hearing something different about rollover. So I am completely confused. So help me out.
All right. Background information from last week's sheet, there was a OTR for $2,900.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
It was. There was a motion to zero that out. I was just going to motion to reduce it. I don't know where I'm going.
I can bring her.
Yeah, go ahead.
To current. There was a discussion the other night about that amendment, which would have zeroed out from $2,900, which is what is in the recommended budget, $2,900, to zero, based on the sense that there will be rollover money that will be brought from 2015 into 2016, and that should be adequate to cover the travel and training expenses of the department next year. The discussion turned to the timing of that. That even though the training money currently in human rights, it's $8,750, won't be spent this year and will kind of fall into the rollover account, the timing of that process would have us wait until probably July or so before the money could come out of rollover and be spent in human rights. So there was a timing issue. So the decision was to keep the $2,900 in as was recommended at that time. So that's where we currently are. The budget has $2,900 of target money in it for next year.
So is the $87 that's in rollover target money as well that was put in there in this year's budget? Or was that one
that
time?
That was one-time money, Kevin.
Yes.
That was in 2015?
Yes. Correct.
One time. But it will fall into fund balance. It will be available for rollover next year. But again, the timing precludes the department from traveling until July or August when it comes out of rollover and is put into the budget.
So may I follow up, Mr. Chair?
Yeah, sure.
So can this $2,900 come out of fund balance and this amount be reduced, this $8,700 be reduced?
It could, although we come back now to the recurring versus non-recurring. The way I've recommended the budget, the $2,900 will be target money. So her budget will have $2,900 in target until you change it. If we bring money out of fund balance, it probably would be considered one-time money, so it would be there in 2016 and gone in 2017.
Okay, I'll stop. Other people have questions, and then I'll think this through.
Well, I think what Julie's motion was to, the other night, was to zero out the 29 because there was 87. And then we said, well, but in case there's a conference in March, you know, that won't be available. So we said, let's, 29 seemed the right amount. Let's leave it in target. And then when rollover comes up in June, if it's actually to 8,700 or whatever, then we can say, well, no, we actually funded travel and training adequately at 2,900, so that 87 should sort of be pulled out of the department and put back into fund balance. So if the goal is to give her the availability of her training money all year so that she can spend it whenever the conference comes up, then we want to fund it in target, and 29 is the recommended amount. That seems fine. The 87, which was an unusual situation, which is over now, that can go back.
Thank you. That wasn't in the notes, so I was just trying to understand it. So I appreciate that. So, Mr. Chair, I am no longer going to recommend my $900 reduction okay. to that.
On to the next one. And, right, you're on to the next one, which is partially fund the OTR with 75K increase in target monies for county's partner share to TCAT.
So, thank you. Can I move an amended version of that to 25,000 increase? I can do that because I saw previously there was a 50,000 already. I was looking for 75. So
and
I'd like
there's
to
a second, Mike.
So you want to bring it down to 25 total?
No.
Up to 70.
I want to bring it up to 75. Oh, there's already 50.
I don't second that.
Oh, I'm
and
sorry.
I was going to add another 25. Okay. Am I doing that the right way? Or should I just ask for 75,000?
Yeah, I mean, 50 is there now, so
right.
Essentially you have to add 25 to that, right?
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
So that is what I would like to do.
So
I'd
you're
like
moving
to
25 additional to the 50 that's so, already there.
Right.
Is there a second
for
to that?
TCAT.
Will, second. Discussion.
Mr. Chair, before anyone ask, I was looking at what TCAT was requesting and in talking to constituents, employees, folks being concerned about the need for a transportation for the folks who are most needy. And looking at what TCAT is facing, I think they're making a really good faith effort to sort of clean things up and move on. I thought that a three-quarters amount of what they were asking for would be an adequate amount. I felt that it's something that perhaps both the city and Cornell can support as well. I haven't asked anybody about that. That was just my feeling. So I wanted to bring it at that level and hope to get support for TCAT on that end.
Anyone else? Go ahead.
Is this contingent that all the county partners agree to this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It doesn't say that.
Anyone else? Julie?
Yes, I'm disappointed that we're not supporting the full amount that TCAT requested, since we would only pay it if all the partners agree, as Glenn just reestablished. But to me, the amount that we say we're willing to give is our show of support for the existence of TCAT, for the continued existence of TCAT. It's not playing chicken. That was the word that came up, Leslin, at the last meeting. We're not playing chicken with the other partners. We're showing our level of belief.
Right. And anyone else? Let me make my own comment. Last meeting I had 25,000 in. Maybe I even have it in this meeting.
You have the reduction.
Yeah. I had 25,000 last meeting because it was pretty clear to me that one of our partners would probably do that and the other would at some point. I've done a little research of my own, spoken to people, and one of our partners is unaware that any more money was going to be asked for. So I thought 25,000 would be not such a shock to them. after they're already contributing a fair amount of money. So I will not be supporting this.
Which of our partners didn't know about this request?
The one on the Hill. Peter?
Yes, I too have spoken to our partners on the Hill, and I hear an extremely different response.
Yeah.
Martha?
Well, nobody knows until there's a formal request, and I think the issue is not whose mind can we best read. The issue is how much can we afford? And we had everything from $25,000 to $75,000 to $100,000, et cetera. I'm satisfied with the $50,000 that we put in there the other night, and I will not vote to increase it or decrease it, which is a later amendment.
Yeah, we did a lot of back and forth on this, and we tried out all those different amounts and got here. I was... not even close to passing at the full amount, and it wasn't close to passing at the 25,000, and then we got to something.
Where are you?
Where I am is that I think that it's not reasonable to go 7 years without an increase in the main amount from the partners, so I think it makes sense to do something, but on the other hand, I think that the realities on the ground, the ridership, the where the routes are, all of that is very different than when we did the original partnership amounts, and that it's reasonable to ask the TCAT board to spend the next year going over some of that some more and coming back with something that the various partners can agree on so that, you know, to not do the whole thing, as Peter explained, that would carry us through the next number of years without asking the board itself to do some more work. So I'm good with this amount that we're at already, and I'm not inclined to change.
Editorial comment that I can make that the partners, we're one of the partners, and we have increased the amount of money we give with our mortgage tax. So, you know, for us to say out loud we haven't increased is wrong, frankly. Whoever's next. Anyone else?
So, Mr. Chair, I there aren't going to be any minds changed tonight, I'm sure.
Right.
But please indulge me when, you know, I sort of have to echo partly what Dooley says and that we're not playing chicken with this. We have people out there, you know, notwithstanding the students of Cornell that Cornell pays for, who are struggling immensely in this county. We have people who are moving out from the core of the county here out of the city into the outlying areas because they can't afford to live here. And so they rely heavily on TCAT. And I would hate to see the message that we send to those very poor people is that if TCAT has to cut the services to them out there, so be it, because TCAT can't afford to continue to run as is. So I just needed to get that off my chest because I think it sends a really bad message to our constituents, and I'm saying all of us, who are out struggling and needing reliable bus service. It's interesting that someone asked me today, why don't we have free municipal bus service? And I couldn't answer that question because I don't know, and maybe it's something to look at. How does Los Angeles do it, or whoever else does free municipal transportation services? Figure out if there's something that we need to do different in terms, or TCAT needs to do different. Perhaps they should be looking at that. But I worry about the people out there who need these services and can't have them because TCAT doesn't have the capacity to be able to provide.
Well,
I would second that. I know there's been some calls, so why don't we just increase fares and you know, get the riders to pay for it. As you're probably aware, we already have a two-tiered fare system, and the fares are higher further out. And while there's sort of a logic to that, you know, more ride, why not pay more? The reality is that the people tend to be riding further out are the least able to pay for that. I would love to have a system that was free or virtually free. I hope we don't shift the burden again on the people that can least afford it. I would support 100, or what Peter called for. I will support 75. It is a jewel that we have in our community that is slowly, slowly heading backwards. And I hope we recognize that and help it before it's too late.
Anyone else? Peter?
Well, I've talked on this very often, and you know what I'm going to say, so I'll make it very short. I think the right number for us is $103,000 for reasons that I expounded at great length last time, and so I will vote for anything that gets us closer and against anything that gets us farther away from that.
Anyone else? So what we're voting on is Loveland's amendment to add $25,000 to a number that we already have in the budget of $50,000. So please raise your hand if you support that amendment. One. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? It's five in favor, seven opposed. It fails.
I'm done. I could add more things if you'd like, but I'm done.
No, that's good. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the one of mine, which is highway. The other evening, we walked out of here with $150,000 added to the highway fund, and the amendment I'm offering up is to reduce that by $50,000 down to $100,000 if I get a second for that. Less than second discussion. I will tell you what my goal is. If you look up on the screen, you see 1.23. The county administrator gave us a budget of 1.30. We started out this process with a $583,000 gift, and we've spent that plus more. And so I recognize that the highway department came in here. They were probably not going – we're unaware that anybody on the legislature was going to be offering up $250,000 and even down to $150,000. And I know from where I live, and I know you, some of the rest of you who live in rural areas, that they need to do work on the roads, and I was hoping to be able to add some money to their budget so that they could do that. It's as simple as that. And the other part of it is, I frankly don't want to go out of here with a 1.23 number. I think I would be troubled if I had to explain to anybody how we managed to spend $583,000 plus and add to the county administrator's recommended budget. I think that would be wrong, and we would not accomplish what we really are trying to do. For some of you, we would. But not for me. So that's my idea. Anyone else have their hands up? Leslie, go ahead.
So, Mr. Chair, thank you for doing this. My question is perhaps for Joe or anyone who remembers. Did we not do I think it's capital reserve specifically for this, for a highway, for bridges and roads?
We have a capital plan for roads and bridges that is currently at $1.2 million a year, that will go to $1.8 million for 5 years, and up to $2.4 million for 5 years after that. As I said the other night, just for context there, though, we went from a very project-specific capital approach in the past. We tried to identify every road and every bridge for the long term, to a more generic financial commitment to roads and bridges. So this wasn't all new money, but instead of having Bridge X identified in 2019, we simply had a money allocation there to show commitment to the roads.
So why are we doing this?
Why are we doing what?
Why are we even putting more money here?
Oh, into the highway fund?
Yeah.
For me, it was a way to achieve a goal that we have to do all the time, and we all know that. We're actually getting better at dealing with the highways over the last few years, but we continue to need to do those kinds of things. When I saw we had $580,000, it made sense to me to put it in. Giving it to them is like putting it in the bank, as far as I'm concerned, that we know we have to do those kind of things, and it was a good way to, keep the roads, bring the roads up to a level that we think we ought to have them at. And I believe the department has worked hard to do that, because for the longest time prior to me coming on here and some of the rest of you, the roads were not in good shape here, and we had neglected them severely. Mike, you had your hand up? Anyone?
Me.
Sure.
I just said that it's asphalt, basically.
Yeah.
Right. It might be some culverts. It might be some ditching. But it's showing that we need to look at some of the roads that we're having to back burner sometimes to hit the fire crises, where the ones that are getting potholes. We've seen a lot of them after last winter. And it's also money that we have to spend when we have these terrible storms. And we may or may not get any kind of funding for those. So far, we haven't been very lucky.
Dan Dooley, Carol.
I just want to challenge that idea a little bit. I've heard more than one person say it, that we received a gift of $580,000, and therefore we should lower the tax levy. We set a goal in March of 1.3%, or April, 1.3%, and we are right about there. We knew that there would be changes in revenue between April and now, and we knew there would be changes in expenses between April and now, and we didn't say that we're going to adjust our target, goal based on those changes. We set a goal saying that that's what we think we want to achieve, what people can afford to achieve the goals we want. So I just want to challenge the idea that we somehow owe that money back. We are sticking to the goal that we set, and I think that that's an admirable thing. And that's what I want to say.
Well, let me just say, yeah, we are sticking to the goal plus $580,000.
No, that's 1.3% still. That goal has not changed, and that's where we are. There's a lot of dollar figures that go up and down, and a lot of them do.
I'm sorry, but that's a strange way to do math. But, that's okay. Right. Mike, whatever you want to say.
To Dan's point, when we set the 1.3, we didn't know we were going to get $581,000. And we thought we would have to pay that amount of money with our budget.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, no one in the room knew we were getting $580,000 back. Dooley and then Martha.
Well, we all hoped that pension would go down, but we didn't know it. We also thought sales tax was coming in much worse, and it hasn't come in very well. I think Dan's point is absolutely correct. I didn't vote for that particular goal, but that is what the majority of this legislature set, and I don't see any reason to feel a need to change it. I was totally taken by surprise when Jim wanted to spend $250,000 on roads and bridges, because that's not the usual kind of motion I hear from our budget chair. But it was a good surprise for our highway manager, and I asked him, could he use it? What would he use it for? And Mike just summarized the answer. He'll pave a little bit more of the roads. That's it. He can always use it. It's for asphalt. So since he could use it, I supported it. It wasn't where I thought our big generosity should necessarily go, because we always need more money there, but it's one of the staples of what we do.
May I respond to that? Yes, Jim, you may. The $580,000, if I had my way, I would have just reduced the levy $580,000 and left it alone. Someone else have their hand up? Go ahead, Carol, and then Martha.
So I also think Dan's point is well taken. A lot of things changed between April and now, and sales tax and
various requests from our departments and the back and forth between Joe and the departments and us. And, you know, it's just that's a target. And I'm not sure quite where, Jim, where you get the numbers that the 1.23 we're at now is somehow we've spent that and more because it's still below the 1.3 in a minor way. But we haven't spent it and more yet. We still could. And I just want to speak to it. For me, it's not a matter of whether our highways are important or not. Of course they're important. The question for me is balancing over the years what we can do and where, which parts of the budget we can do it in. And the fact that we've done a piece in the capital budget, we found ways to do that. That's important. And, you know, and we've done that, and I'm not challenging doing that. The question for me is more if we do want to stick to around that 1.3%, you know, where do I think it makes sense to spend the extra money or not? And for me, the fact that we've been able to do a piece for the highways is important, but the fact that we haven't been able to do a librarian yet, get our librarians back up to where they were years ago, which is now, I think, what is it, 5 or 8 librarians less than we used to have, that we keep a position in the health department for autistic children, that we, I would have done a living wage. I mean, it's just, you know, we have to make our choices and we balance that out. And I think we've done a pretty good job in this budget so far balancing it out. And so I would propose that we you know, if we're going to have to make some more changes and play around the edges, that we recognize that we have done a piece over here and that there are still other pieces we could be achieving related to people and learning and some other aims that we have.
I need to answer your question. I believe when we started the first night, we reduced the levy by, we imposed the 583 onto the levy, the 1.30, and it took it to a certain level, and now we've built it back with that money.
Well, I was going to Dan's point that we started at 1.3 back in April, and we didn't know then what the ups and downs would be between April and November.
I'm relatively new at this, but, you know. Who else had their hand up? Martha, go ahead, and then Mike.
We're pretty far afield from the 50,000 motion, but I'm going to support that cut from that cut of the increase. So it's still an increase of 100 from what had been in the administrator's budget. So, this board is about to prove Andrew Cuomo right. We've been saying ever since I've been here that county property taxes are high because of state mandates. And if you got rid of the mandates, we could drop property taxes. Well, we got a $583,000 drop in our mandates, and we're about to spend it all, minus a little touch. And there are calls to actually spend even more than the mandate relief we got. Now, our departments could always use more. I trust our staff. I know that they do good things. I know we have really good management. We could always have more nurses. We could always have more librarians. We could always have more of all of it. But you know what? And it really is a matter of showing some kind of truth about what we've been saying about mandates. That if we could be relieved of these mandates, we wouldn't impose that kind of property tax burden on our residents. And I'm not saying this because I'm running for office, because I'm not. I think this is what, when we think about all of the people in our community, I think we have to think about all of the people in our community. And I think, you know, the cost of housing, as Leslie was saying, is outrageous. And guess what? Property taxes is one of those costs. So we have an opportunity. Joe always comes in, does the hard work with the staff, and always comes in with a balanced, responsible budget and meets our goals. And, you know, we had the opportunity, it's true, to fill a couple holes that seemed especially problematic. But I just feel like it's not being responsible enough if we say, wow, we got a bigger allowance, let's spend it. I really feel that way.
Anyone else? Leslin, Mike. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, and then over to Leslin.
Mine was more of a kind of overreaching question.
Why don't you use the microphone, please?
Mine was kind of an overreaching question for Joe. I know we probably covered this from the outset with the $500,000. Why did we get that money back? I mean, everything I read about the state pension fund is it's underfunded. And I'm kind of wondering why the state did that. I mean, every time I read about the state pension fund, they're saying that the percentages that they think that they're going to get as a return are just way out of proportion as to what they're going to actually get. And that's how they kind of make that number up. So I'm kind of curious as to why we even got the
money.
Yeah,
you know, we were shocked because we were getting word from NYSAC and them to the state budget office as late as June that the pension rates were going up. That's why we built the pension rates in. And you're right about there are changes in the actuarial formulas. They've assumed we're going to live longer. We probably will. They've assumed that we're going to make less on pension investments. We probably will. So all the indicators were going up. All I can think of, and the calculus is well beyond my brain, I think they had a good year. I think the stock market went up appreciably last year. My sense is this is probably the last of a good run, but that's only my, you know, uneducated guess. So, again, it was unanticipated. That's the best I can do is that the stock market, if you remember that chart that we put up the first night of the budget process, was on an almost vertical path for a long time, and only now, after their calculation period has ended, and I think it ends, is it the end of March, when they mark the pension account? I think that vertical period had ended, and we're now kind of on that downward spiral. Yeah, although they were building that into their estimates, too. So, Mike, I don't have the scientific answer for you, but I do think that this is probably the end of this. So we should expect to see, at best, stability, I would guess, over time.
But that's kind of where we're at, though, is stability then. We keep characterizing this as a give back. I don't know if it really is. I mean, it's more of a, oh, we've hit this number that we think is stable, and we overdid it a little bit, so here's this money back. But we're still probably going to be right around this number next year. Maybe.
Let's hope.
Right.
Let's hope.
I mean, as far as we know.
Leslin, Peter, you had your hand up after Leslin?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So I'm just letting you all know you ruined my moment because I was going to use Martha's stump speech, which was excellent, to amend your proposal to zero out that line, that $100,000.
You mean right now there's 150 in the budget. You want to take it to zero.
Jim's motion on the table was to bring it to 100. I'm amending that to zero.
Is there a second?
Zero it out.
Is there a second for that? Dies for lack of a second.
All right.
Any other discussion about that? All in favor of the motion to reduce the 150 to 100,000, please raise your hand. Opposed? Peter, are you opposed?
Yeah, I'm opposed.
You're opposed.
Yeah.
Anyone want to change their vote?
I have
seven. Seven in favor and five opposed.
Means it passes?
I'm sorry, yes.
That means it passes.
Yes, it passes. The 25,000, well, I'm not very bright, but I'm not going to do that.
And we have one going on.
And the last one I have is the health department. We added a position, $94,000, and I would move to zero that out. If there's a second. Leslie, thank you. Discussion, Dan?
I once again just need to say that a family member that works in this program need to recuse myself.
Okay.
Thank you.
Leslie.
Mr. Chair, I'm still trying to understand this. When this first came up, my understanding from Frank, from Joe, is that there are positions of this nature that exist within the department that are still unfilled. Did I get that right?
Yeah, the problem has been keeping the positions filled. Yes.
So why are we adding a position if we can't keep the ones filled that we already have? It's my simple common sense. I'm just asking.
If you...
Pretty much the reason why I put the zero number on this. I think there was an impossible question asked the department had the other evening. Can you use a position or do you want a position? And that's almost like me calling up department heads and saying, is there anything you need? Can I add a position for you? And I'll make it into a budget amendment. If I'm a good to excellent department head, my answer is going to be, of course I can use another person. But the discussion I heard around the room the other day led me to believe that that this was not necessary at this time. Julie, you had your hand up, and then we'll go to Carol.
Yes, if you look in the budget book, page 4-130, it explains it, I think, pretty clearly, that the caseload is up and there's burnout, and that's why the positions aren't kept filled. It's not because they don't need the nurses. It's become a much more stressful position. So I just encourage you to read the description.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is this is not an add-on like your highway money. It was a position that was requested by the department and originally as something they needed. And they needed because of the reasons Julie just outlined. And I was particularly moved by Mike Sigler's personal story of, why it's important. I know other families with similar issues. And I think it's, a growing problem in our community. The numbers go up and the burnout is high, and it's we pick what it is we think is important, and so if those are among the things that I think are important, which is why I voted for it before and why I would vote for it now.
Martha.
I would like to amend this to make this a halftime position, and I'll explain if I get a second. I have heard there's a description in here about page 130 in section 4 about staff increase from 35 to 37 and a half hours and then went up to 40 hours. I think there may be actually an interest in somebody working a job like this half time. I think there has been that's one reason that the health department used to be 35, that there are a lot of people who would rather, talk about your stereotypes here, but a lot of nurses are women. They have the responsibility of family, picking up kids, being home with kids and after school. So I know I just dumped a whole bunch of stereotypes, but I think that's true. So I think a lot of the burnout may come from actually being 40 hours. I don't actually support the position, but I think if we, in terms of the budget, if we can add a halftime position, I could live with that as a budget addition. And in fact, I think it would be an attractive position that might be easily filled and retained.
Could we ask for a comment by the department head?
You may. Frank, do you want to come up here? It's closer. And I think that one works all the time.
A little slow anyway. I hurt my back in an unfortunate pumpkin carving accident. the question, I'm sorry. About halftime. It's difficult to recruit nurses as it is full-time. Recruiting halftime nurses has proved near impossible when we've tried to do it in the past. And then to second, I think there was some discussion about the increase in hours. It would not make sense financially to reduce the hours of the staff and then support a part-time position because it's more expensive to bring on a new position than it is to increase hours.
No, I wasn't talking about actually decreasing the full-time staff. I was just saying that might be some of what's happened, that people came in at 35 and that's where they said yes to a job that's now become 40. But no, I wasn't proposing to change those hours.
Peter Stein.
Yeah, well, there's nothing that really affects me more than the idea of children who need special intervention and don't get it. And I can deal with bad roads. I can deal with a lot of things. But something like this, I feel it necessary to spend the most effort that we can on problems like this, children who need help.
The motion, the amendment on the floor is to reduce the, well, to make it half-time rather than full-time, which would be roughly, what, 50,000, I guess you said, Martha? Or half of 94?
45 or something.
45, 47, 46, 47. Any other comments on the half-time amendment? All in favor, please raise your hand. Of the halftime. Opposed. Anyone want to change their vote? Come on, Martha, change. Oh, one in favor, 11 opposed. 10-1 abstention. Oh, 10-1, right, sorry. 1-10 and 1 abstention. Back to the main motion. Anyone? Any other comments?
So what's the motion? To zero this out, right?
Yeah, zero the position out, 92.
Wait.
All in favor?
Wait. So is to zero it out. So a yes vote is a no.
A yes vote,
not to do the
a
position.
Yes vote zeros it out.
Okay.
A no vote. Is obviously done. All in favor of zeroing that out, please raise your hand. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? I get it right this time. 4 in favor, 6 opposed, and 1 abstention. That fails. Carol?
Somebody's
vote.
Oh. Are we done with that?
No,
that's 11.
Dean, I'm abstaining.
One abstention.
4, 6, and 1 is 11. Aren't there 12 of us here?
No.
4, 6, and 1 is 11.
7 no's, sorry. I feel like Mike Plinkler.
So
I think we're done, right? Unless there's something else.
Well, I raised my hand.
You didn't say anything, though. Go ahead.
Well, I thought that the question, I thought we still had questions on the last one. So is it out of order to introduce other motions at this point?
No.
No? Okay. So I would like to.
Of course, almost nothing is out of order.
I would like to raise again the question of the librarian.
We, early on, when we weren't sure where the budget was going, we talked about adding a librarian at the Tompkins County Public Library. That was OTR 66. It was for $88,005. So I would like to raise that again.
So your motion, your amendment is to add $88,000 in for a new librarian, right? Is there a second, Will? Do we need to talk about it again, or can we just vote on it? Mike.
Very shortly, I just want to say this would be on top of the $150,000 right. We're already giving them.
Anyone else? Martha and Dooley.
I just would like to see what the levy becomes if that goes in. Yeah. I'm going to oppose that.
Okay, well, is it going to matter to you if I switch it to a 7/8 time librarian?
Might.
Is that going to...
Your motion is for 88, was the OTR that was here.
Does that matter? No, after no. That, three-quarter time.
Is there anything else? Anyone else? Mike.
Can you make this contingent if the city and...
You can try anything. Anything else? All in favor of Carol's amendment, please raise your hand. Peter, it's the library, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you are raising your hand, yes, opposed? Anyone change their vote? 5 in favor, 7 opposed. Mike Lane.
I don't really want to cut people off, but I'd really like to move the budget.
Is there a second?
No, Leslie? Mr. Chair, I'm not seconding. I actually had a question before we even go all there.
Okay.
Thank you. I would not be in favor of moving the budget. I am asking if I can get a little update on the contingency funding for the reentry position. I was reading and I'm a little confused. First there was and then there wasn't. And now I need glasses.
$100,000.
$100,000 is
parked in contingency.
Parked in contingency. Thank you.
There was a motion and a second, Dave, to adopt this, send this on tentatively with a 1.12 levy increase. Martha.
So I would like to ask Kevin if we pulled. I don't know what the number is, 50,000 out of reserves and applied it to the levy?
I'm trying to get this bad boy to 1%.
Yeah, why not? Let's see what that does. You know, if we pulled 60,000. I'm going to move that we pull $60,000 from reserves and apply it to the tax levy.
Is there a second to that? Leslie. Discussion. Dooley Kiefer.
Well, I think Governor Cuomo would be very happy with your action, Martha. The whole idea of drawing down our reserves at the same time that we know that the state turned down Tompkins County's plan to save money, which makes us in bad shape for the future of Governor Cuomo's tax cap program, getting checks to our residents, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm really disappointed, and I can't support this.
Well, a lot of us have to live with disappointment. Who is the other person?
Carol
and Martha.
So I can't support this at this point, although I might support it a few steps down the line. Let's remember, this is the expanded budget committee, and we haven't provided time for public comment. But we could come to the floor tomorrow night and hear from a bunch of the public. And I'd hate to put ourselves in a position of needing to stick to a number just because it's a number before we've had given the public a chance to weigh in on things that they might be outraged or not in there, or outraged are in there and want to see come out. So I'd like to give us some room to hear from the public both tomorrow night and at our budget forum. Hearing. And then if it seems to make sense to bring it back, the number down and have a headline at that point, I might be more open.
Yeah. I believe you're next.
Yeah,
someone
Carolyn,
back there.
That would be a first if you wanted to be held to a number. So I'm sorry. I know. That's what I'm saying. So is it Rick's question? Rick or Joe's question? Now, boys, no talking between. So our target fund balance is
10%.
And in your administrator's budget, where did we get to?
I was trying to find that info. Thank you, Martha.
There's a page in the book. Let me give you an exact number.
Mark, may I make a comment while you're searching, Joe? Martha, you remember a few years back when I made that move and lowering it out of the fund balance, and I was beaten up like for a long time. But
as I said, I'm not.
Kevin, you had your hand up.
Well,
I was just going to give you the page reference.
Okay.
Oh,
section 2, page 22.
It's 14.6. So we ended. Let's see. The estimated was 14.6 after the draws that I put in my budget. You're not terribly far away from that. So you're in the mid 14% range.
Page
222.
Right.
Section 2, page 22.
Okay. So so the number here we're looking at is unassigned general fund balance, right?
That's right.
And right now it's in this book. It's 22,899, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And we have, before we do this motion, we've taken an additional 43.6, right? So we haven't even moved the needle. All right, if we add 60 to that, so it's 100,000 that we're going to take in addition out of the fund balance.
Right.
Okay, what that means is, all right, we're certainly still going to be 14% over the target, right? Even with that, let's take 100 out.
Right.
So we're already charging taxpayers for like 4% of our fund balance more than our target is for. So, I mean, that at this level, it's really not going to hurt us in any way. To not charge taxpayers that amount of money, it doesn't make us unstable. It's not going to change our bond rating. It's not going to make anything harder next year.
Correct.
Okay.
The only thing I have to say, just because I have to say things like this, we've tried to tie the use of one-time money, the draws in our reserves, to non-recurring items. We haven't achieved perfection. We've tried to, so that we don't have to worry about not having that money the next year. You're right, this is not a huge amount of money. But the first page of the 2017 budget will be finding $60,000 to plug this gap. So the first item that we'll have to do is to cover it. So, again, I have this...
You didn't have to say that.
This, I don't want to say constitutional obligation, but it's my own constitution to remind you that that's the consequence of doing this.
I understand. I really do. I'm okay with that.
All right. Any, Leslin, and then we'll go over to Dan, or Julie, and then Dan.
And Martha, I completely agree with you. I was actually looking for the 400 and something thousand that would equal 1%. But, you know, I'm willing to support the 60,000 because I think it's the least we can do. We've been sitting here all night talking about how much money we saved and what we should give back to our taxpayers, and $60,000 is a drop in the bucket, and we can do that.
Dooley, Mike, you had your hand up? Oh, I'm sorry. Then I'll go to you, and then Dooley, and then Dan.
Okay. I just wanted to do did our reserves go up last year?
Yes.
How much did they go up?
Say that again.
Use the mic, would you, Rick, please?
It's on that same page there, 224, I believe. Oh, yeah, the increase itself, it was about $5 million.
Oh.
That's
what I'm saying.
Let's do that.
That's a drop in the bucket.
Let's do all $5 million.
I'm sorry.
I'm willing to do 400.
Rick, where is it? It doesn't say that here.
It couldn't have increased $5 million.
That's just, you won't find it in here.
I'm just wondering what our increase to our reserves were last year. That couldn't be $5 million.
It was $5 million. Remember we had the big bump in sales tax at the end? That certainly contributed to it. There were some mandate shifts. So, yeah, it went up by about $5
million. So we have $5 million in reserves more this year than we did last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
How much do we have in reserves?
Well, it's in here. It's $22.9 million.
Oh.
Yeah, but last year, but 2014 says 23.9.
This 22 is after Joe has allocated the 1 point something that he took out towards the budget.
So the 23 includes the increase that was happened in 2014. So as we ended last year, we ended with a unassigned fund balance of $23.9 million.
Okay.
So that's the end of the books last year. We in my budget, had planned to draw down over $1 million of that. So that's why there's a decrease from the year end of 2014 to what we would do after.
Oh, I see.
The money's allocated.
Okay.
Dooley, Dan, someone else. Dooley, and Mike.
Yes. It took this legislature quite a number of years to recognize the fact that we should have a target fund balance of 10%. But actually, we should, if you talk to people who think about government fund balances, 15% is a much better one as a target than where we finally got to, 10%. So I am not anxious to keep drawing this down. We're not up at 15%. I hope we get there one of these days.
Dooley, would you support putting $582,000 in the fund balance then?
Depends where it comes from, Jim.
It was mailed to us. Dan.
So I hear our county administrator tactfully saying that he thinks this goes against our fiscal policy to do this, and that this will be the first thing to think about in the 2017 budget. So I'm hearing that on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm seeing that this move would give the average homeowner $3.50. And in my opinion, that is not worth messing with fund balance for and messing with our fiscal policy.
Someone, who was it? Mike, and then we'll go back to Leslie.
My worry here, if we start messing around with the fund balance, is what happens when we don't get a good sales tax year at the end of the year, and we don't know where that's going to be. That means our fund balance will go down for next year.
Sure.
So I think we ought to leave it where it is.
Folks, are y'all kidding me? Am I hearing this right? Like, every year we've gone to the fund balance and taken stuff out of it, and we're sitting here pretending like we haven't. When we start messing around with the fund balance, we've been doing this every year. We've been taking big amounts of money. We have not taken $60,000 from the fund balance in a long time. It's been well above that amount. This is a small amount of money. And Dan, I'm hearing this a little differently than you are. We're not messing with our fiscal policy. Our policy says that we have a 10% target fund balance, and we have a 10% target fund balance. We have beyond that. And so we have some, you know, unallocated reserves that we can use to help our taxpayers. $3 to some taxpayers is a huge amount. That matters. It matters to people, even if sometimes it is just the good faith effort that we're looking to give something back to our taxpayers. We have it this year. Many years we don't have it, and we have to increase taxes at amounts that we don't like. And our taxpayers have rolled up their sleeves, kicking and screaming, some of them, but they've supported us. So $60,000, I think, is not that much for us to do to give back a little something to our taxpayers. So that's my stump speech for the night.
Let me remind you also, if our cap is 1.8, and because of the circumstances of the state not accepting our efficiency introduction, no taxpayer will get even a $15 check back to them this year from us. Any other questions or comments on Martha's proposal to reduce the 1.12 by, well, the levy, a $60,000 number, the fund balance, by $60,000?
Yeah.
Is that it, Martha?
To reduce, yeah. To
reduce
take
the fund balance by $60,000.
Correct.
Okay. Carol?
I have a question stimulated by what you just said, Jim. If our tax cap is 1.8 this year, this is a question for Joe, I think, and we're not being seen by the state as living up to our end, what does that mean for next year? What happens to our tax? What's the impact on our tax cap next year?
For the 2017 budget?
Yeah.
Whatever we don't spend in cap, we get to roll forward. In fact, one reason our cap was 1.8% this year, which is higher than many other places, is because we didn't spend up to the cap last year, so we're able to roll it forward. So whatever that levy increase is, you take 1.8% minus the final levy increase, and that then helps us. That adds to the cap for 2017.
So it doesn't reduce what we get to do in 2017. Okay.
Yeah. But it gives us more flexibility next year.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyone else? All in favor of Martha's 60K out of fund balance, please raise your hand. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote?
The legislators who are not here.
I'm sorry. It's a tie vote. That does not pass. Mike Lane. Back to Mike's budget.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the amendments to the 2016 tentative Tompkins County budget and the 2016-20 capital program. That's the resolution we have on our desk with the inclusion of the figures in front of us on the board in the blanks.
Is there a second? Peter Stein, seconds. Discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? 10 in favor, 2 opposed. We have a tentative budget. Thank you very much.
Wait, Jim, do we need to pass this resolution?
We just did.
No.
Yep. Just did. Oh. When I moved.
We just did.
That's the one Mike just moved.
Well, no, I have a question.
Okay.
Where do you have the resolution?
So. Mike, isn't that the resolution we just passed?
Yes, it was.
It is.
Okay. Well, point
the
of
one on your desk.
Okay, that was clarified to people. So
yeah.
I knew what it was, but I don't think everybody else knew. So
can we get the numbers filled in then? Total tax levy amount of.
46. What's your question, Carol?
My question is, I thought we were talking about a median-priced home now at $170,000. So should that be adjusted to $170,000, or should it be
$165,000?
It should be $170,000. It should be $170,000, and we should fill in whatever number is at $170,000.
Okay.
But the numbers you see up there are the ones based on $170,000.
Okay. So is it too late?
So the house value is $170,000. Well,
so I have another question. Can you remind us what happens now, having passed this resolution? What is the next step? And when it goes to the legislature, what needs to happen?
We have a, Kathy, tentative budget goes to the ledge tomorrow, and then we have a public hearing set up. I'm missing the day.
November 10th.
November 10th is a public hearing,
mm-hmm.
and then we would vote on it that night?
Or no,
the following?
November
yeah,
17th.
Okay. November 10th is a public hearing, then we would vote on it at the next meeting in November, right?
Okay. And this will, you need 8 votes to pass. Failing that, what's the default?
Joe's budget.
Goes back to Joe's.
I think it defaults to the tentative budget. So if you approve this budget tomorrow night, it's your budget. It falls back to that budget.
Thank you.
And until the final vote, there is room for additional amendments
yeah.
to the budget?
Sure, absolutely. Anything else?
And the public hearing is when?
November 10th.
Mm-hmm. 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock here. Move to adjourn. All in favor? I oppose. Benny, you want to change your vote? No, thank you. thank you all for 9 meetings, and here we are one more time.